Everybody cool with me recording? And so Kirsty, my colleague, has posted that. Kirsty, do you have the link to the Jamboard that we can put up here? There it is. Okay. So thank you very much, Kirsty. So Kirsty just put in the chat, the Jamboard that we can use to post stuff up. All right. So Carlos, work in Hedgewish alongside other Southeast residents. Cool. All right. So just for those of you, because I think a couple of people just joined in, we're just putting in, like, what's your connection to the Southeast side and what are you hoping to get out of this this meeting this evening? I want to just take a little bit more time for that. And while we're doing this, we are going to be, so it is being recorded right now. We are going to be taking notes also. We're going to be trying to preserve it. Like, we want to be able to align what people are said with people's first names. So folks, like, there is some, this is the person who said it. So it's not just like participant X said stuff, but we are going to be doing just first names. So we won't be, it won't be like posted with your full identification or anything like that. No descriptions of people either. Okay. Clarification. Offices in South Chicago, work with residents. Okay, got it. In a couple of different areas of South Chicago, Southeast Chicago. So we're about to get started going into the first section of questions in just a couple of minutes. You know what? Let's just go ahead and do it. Everybody cool if we just go in, like, start going to that first question? We're going to try and we're asking folks to, like, try to keep your responses to about a minute. We will be keeping track. And again, all those norms of interacting with one another. Okay. Seeing no objections to getting going on things, let's get started with the first question. So the first prompt is about benefits. So based on what you've heard so far, please share some of the potential benefits of this proposal on you and your community. Who specifically benefits? And folks can, like, unmute. Go ahead and start saying stuff. Better?
Just for clarification, you're saying this proposal as the RMJ proposal to set up General Iron, or proposal as in what is going on with the HIA?
The setting up of the facility is my understanding of it. Yeah.
Okay.
Anybody? Benefits that you see? What about thinking about who benefits from the current proposal and how? I see Carlos has raised a hand. Go ahead.
Yeah. I mean, as far as, like, benefits go, in my honest opinion, I think that really the only who benefits based on this proposal is industry. And I don't even think that you can say that industry is benefiting in a way that brings reliable jobs to the Southeast side. I haven't seen anything stated that there would be anything more than just a handful of permanent jobs. So to me, I don't see a benefit in the financial or economic sense to the area, and adding additional emissions of particulate matter, not to mention more trucking activity to the area. It's very hard for me to see any positive benefit for the community when you look at what expanded industry means.
Thank you very much for that. And of course, to be sort of expected with something this contentious, like started going into the next one, which is where's the burden going to lie. But I appreciate, like, you know, maybe there's going to be a benefit for industry. That's the industry. That's not here. That's not folks on the southeast side. Anybody else want to throw in on who you think benefits from this? And other questions are sort of like, are there other things like this? Are the projects of similar nature in the area? And if so, was there anything liked about those?
It'd be a benefit to RMG, the parent company.
Mm-hmm.
I know it does it automatically, but I like how big the letters are.
It's an unintentional significance, isn't it? Any thoughts on, like, how could we decrease the negative impacts and maybe increase some potential positive impacts?
In a community that is already overburdened, that is considered an industrial corridor, there's no way that we could bring in another polluter company. There's absolutely no way that there could be positive benefits. I mean, they're trying to control, or they're saying that they're going to try to control all this pollutants that are going to be released. But so how are we going to benefit if we're just going to be, pollution is just going to increase here?
I'm not exactly sure about the benefits for the jobs that someone was talking about before, because this is a company that is already exists and is just moving their operations. So, you know, I think there will only be a handful of jobs for folks who don't want to make the commute, or folks who find other jobs until there's a decision on the permit. So, I know that jobs has been one of the things that has been touted as one of the benefits for the 10th Ward, but I really seriously question, like, the number of jobs that will actually go to local residents, because, you know, it's the workers that were already employed at the place in Lincoln Park. So I think the only jobs that are going to be created are, like I said, the spaces that are created for when current workers leave, either because they don't want to do the commute, or, like I said, they find a job in this in-between time because the current factory is already closed and the new factory is not open. So the one benefit that I've heard of is jobs, and I don't think that that's actually going to be a benefit.
Yeah. Like, there's a place, there could be jobs associated with it, but you don't really buy it. Got it.
And I would say it's not enough.
Say more about that. It's not enough.
Just because a place offers jobs doesn't mean that that makes the decision for a company to move. So I think, you know, and this is not just for General Iron. Any company that is looking to come into any community, I think, needs to take a look at not only the job impact, but also the impact on the community just in general, whether that's a social impact, racial equity impact, environmental impact. All of that needs to be taken into account, not just jobs.
Got it. Thank you for that.
Yeah, the thing I'll add to what Amalia was saying was that I think any community would definitely welcome sustainable jobs coming into their community. But I think the problem is that when you pose the sort of question of jobs versus clean air, right? As if the two have to be opposed to one another. And I think that any, like the Southeast side would love to have investment, right? Like in it, like would love to have the city investing in, into making it a place where all sorts of, you know, green jobs, like good jobs, union jobs are possible. But this facility doesn't offer any of those things. And like Amalia was saying, the majority of the jobs that this facility would have are going to go to those who are already employed in the previous location. So I think that that's something that I think we have to be very honest about.
Forgive this interruption. This is my boss, Josephine. Thank you. So it's that exchange, right? Like, and it's, you're suggesting, like, it almost seems like it's a false exchange, and like the getting the jobs, yeah, we want those, but at what expense do we get those? Got it. Others, please.
Given the track record of everything that's happened on the southeast side of Chicago and in our area really being used as a dumping grounds, I mean, you know, it's tough to kind of see any kind of future benefits here. What comes to mind with me is somebody help me out here. What was the name of the one where the lady found out that there was some illegal stuff going on? I can't think of the name of the movie. It was a true story.
Out west. You're talking about Erin Brockovich?
Yeah. And now that whole area is surrounded by fencing, and it's like a Geiger counter out there. And I'm just thinking, is this what this area is going to look like with a company like this coming in the future? You know, I mean, I just don't see the long term here. You know, I mean, you know, you look left, you look right, you look up, you look down, and it just seems like they're closing in on you. Okay. And I want safe space. I want a place to be able to breathe comfortable. I want children to be able to breathe comfortable. And those are the things that I just see that nobody's really addressing. Okay. I mean, they're just addressing, just putting, you know, the facility there, getting the permit. And I'm just saying, nobody's talking about long-term. Okay. And and when I mean benefits for all citizens, you know, and it would be kind of wrong to, you know, just kind of make a mistake and say, well, hey, we told you so. And, you know, these kind of things happen all the time. So, I mean, I just don't see a clear vision down the road. You know, I just don't see it.
Thank you for that. I see, I think we're going to turn to your pronunciation name. Brianna, was that you who stated that you had something you wanted to say?
Yeah, thanks, Patrick, and thanks, Bob, and everyone else who's already chatted. I guess I just want to elaborate on what Bob is saying. I do also agree that anything that is placed in this community should take into consideration benefits for all, and that if it's still violent in the space of either the students that this will be across the street from or people that are, you know, impacted by the decreased value of the roads and the infrastructure that's not being taken into consideration when the truck traffic increases, that even if we believe this is a state-of-the-art facility and all of these things, that there are still detriments to other people who might not have the job or, you know, might not see a direct impact, there's still detriments to others in the community. I've recently been learning about some of the fly dumping going on in the 80s in the city and some of the buyouts that was happening on an aldermanic level all the way up to the Illinois EPA. And so I guess the benefit, and forgive me, this might sound like a slap to the face, but the benefit here is that the city has the opportunity to do the right thing and prevent this, you know, known polluter from coming into an already known environmentally justice, like an EJ marked community, that has, from my knowledge from the last HIA, already got a significant number of burdens, economic, COVID, health disparities. So the benefit I would put forward is this process gives the city the opportunity to be truthfully accountable to the community that it's intending to serve, also with Chicago, a healthy Chicago 2025 and all the initiatives there. They could be doing the right thing. I'm hopeful that they will. It's a little discouraging, but that's the benefit that I would like to see, is having the city, you know, hear what we're saying and do the make the ethical decision.
Thank you for that. Much appreciated. So I've been given the little comment from our overarching facilitators that it's time to move on to the second question. Feel free, please, like if things do continue to come to you, like, toss stuff into the chat. We'll do what we can to capture those as well. But moving on to the second prompt, and this one is actually about the burdens. Based on what you've heard thus far, please share some of the burden of this proposal on you and your community. And, you know, again, some of that was already hit upon. Feel free to say it again.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I'll kick it off by saying there's a community that is already overburdened by industrial pollution. And I think, you know, I think because of that, it's the community who would be facing the burden of this proposal.
Yeah, just to piggyback right on what Carlos is saying, it was just surprising to me when that report from the EPA came out and said, well, they were very cautious in that to say that our community is overburdened and has one of the highest like level of pollution in the city. When in 2020, they did say it. CDBH came out and said it. And now it's like, oh, you're not including that within the HIA presentation. Oh, there's information, like a lot of data limitations that you're not sharing. So it is like, okay, you guys are doing all this process and now getting to us and trying to get all that information from us. But I mean, I'm just amazed. It is just a question that how many times do we have to be telling over and over, like, yeah, there's so many people suffering. There is so many people that are suffering from serious health conditions here. I mean, do we need to mention about the asthma? Do we need to mention about the research that are being done with manganese on the soil? Do we need to talk all about these issues? And yet we have to be repeating ourselves over and over again about all these disparities and health issues that are happening here. And still, I feel that come January, you have to make a final decision when there's so many missing pieces.
So what do you mean by missing pieces exactly?
Missing, to start with, I mean, there's a lot of research out there that shows how polluted this community is. There is, like, for instance, I think Yesenia Chavez mentioned earlier in the chat, the air pollutant monitor that is there, that information was not used when the HIA was presented, that information was not included in the presentation. The EPA people are claiming, oh, well, RMG, they have gotten the permit from the EPA, when exactly they're not even thinking about measuring particulate matter 2.5. These are all things that are supposed to be included, and none of this is going to be follow up. And then in January, you guys are going to make a decision that's going to impact all of us.
Yeah,
Thank you for that. I think that'll, yeah. Anyone else?
I would say,
oh, good. Please.
I think that there are at least, you know, two other burdens, which are, you know, the data that the city presented did not seem to limit the extent of the problem for the pollution and the impacts on health. You know, I remember looking at their asthma rates and just being incredulous that they said that, you know, the area was just okay with asthma rates, or I think they were looking at asthma cases, and they were saying that Lincoln Park had a lot more asthma cases than the southeast side. And, you know, cases, yes, that may be because more folks are diagnosed with asthma, but the asthma rates on the southeast side are incredibly high. They're some of the top in the city. And this is looking at the city's own data and CDPH's own data to come up with this. So I think, you know, the data that they did present at the November 4th meeting does not accurately portray the, you know, what is happening on the southeast side. And I think the US EPA, when they, when Michael Regan came out and said, you know, the amount of racial disparities on the southeast side, you know, he acknowledged the fact that, you know, a number of companies were under EPA investigations on the southeast side already. Those are the things that need to be included in the health analysis. So I think a lot of the data that we presented on November 11th should be in there. And like I said, a lot of the data is from the city and it is from CDPH. So this isn't, you know, data that's not from reliable sources. This is their own data. So I think that's one of the burdens is, you know, the community having to continually, kind of like what Daisy said, that the community has to continually share the data that is accurate for our area. For the city to not recognize the southeast side as an environmental burdened community and do everything to paint it as not environmentally burdened when it's been recognized by the US EPA, it's been recognized nationally, it's been recognized in the press from various sources that we are an environmentally burdened community. I think it's a great disservice that the city has done that. The second thing is, I think the burden of this process, you know, to have the meeting continually changed, the fact that it was changed to virtual just 2 days before the meeting, that was canceled, it was put on the same date as another community held meeting on a city initiative. I think the burden, you know, try to rush this process has been another burden, like them rushing this process and not listening to the community and, I don't know, at every step, trying to exclude the community. I don't have words.
Yeah, Amalia, just to add to what you were saying about comparison communities, like how are you going to compare the Southeast Chicago to Lincoln Parks? Like, how are you going to use their indicators in comparing these two communities? Like, I believe there's other communities in Chicago that are similar to the Southeast side that could have been used for comparison.
Well, we need to compare with Lincoln Park because Lincoln Park is where General Iron was originally from, and Lincoln Park residents got to say no. So why is it that environmentally overburdened community, minority community doesn't? So I think it is accurate to compare with Lincoln Park because they did get to say no.
Yeah.
And they are not minority and they, yeah.
And in that when it compares because General Iron was there, but when it comes to other indicators, when it has to do with health, with social demographic indicators, with, you know, how demographically comparable are they to the Southeast side?
They aren't at all, which is why I'm saying we are so overburdened, and for them to try claim otherwise is crazy because Lincoln Park is not overburdened and yet they are able to say no.
Exactly.
Thank you again. Is there any, are there any other like pieces of data or like questions that you feel could be brought in to help understand the potential benefits or burdens, or do folks think it's pretty clear at this point?
Yeah,
I have data, but I'll just put them in the Jamboard.
Awesome. Thank you for that.
Just one more thought. I thought I saved it, but I did not. Like, for instance, the city PH needs to make this decision, and the EPA, you guys are all working together, but how can you make a decision when there has not been, like, we know that there has been like legacy pollution and all of those in our community, but a cumulative health assessment has never been done in the Southeast side. So how can, you know, like this, these are just baseline data that we need to get in order for us to be, or in order for you to be able to make a decision that is actually going to be non-biased and stuff like that. And for all of these things to happen, it should take months and probably many years before you could just tell and continue telling other industries, here, here's a permit.
Does anyone else have any other, like, these things need to be considered or brought into this process, this assessment? Hearing none. This one's weird, but go ahead.
Well, if we're going to finish that, then I think that they need to look at the cancer rates and asthma rates, not number of cases. They need to look at the number of companies that the EPA that is being, what's the word, Mr. Strong? Investigated by the US EPA, you know, for cumulative impact. They need to look at the COVID-19 burden. So hospitalizations, cases and deaths. If I'm not mistaken, I believe the Southeast side, one of the communities was number two in COVID deaths in the city of Chicago. Having COVID and it being deadly is directly related to pre-existing conditions like asthma and cancer, which is directly related to the amount of air pollution that's currently on the Southeast side.
Excellent.
Yeah, and I just want to just follow off of that, Amaya,
yeah,
if I can, if you allow me, Patrick.
Please.
You know, you know, sometimes you don't want to think about the dark side of things, but when you talk about data, you know, you really want to get down, pull out some death certificates and see what the cause of death is in this area versus other areas in the city. And I guarantee you, you'll see cancer rates off the chart, okay? I know a lot of people that have died from cancer in this area. There's a little young fellow that's about 10 or 11, and I met him at a meeting about a couple of years ago, and he had cancer of the hip, you know, and that's been really close to me when I saw that, you know, an 11 or 12-year-old young fella, cancer of the hip, and he had to get most of his hip removed, and, you know, this is real. This is real. And the numbers don't lie. This is real.
Yeah.
Thank you.
There is a study that just came out with cancer clusters, and I think it is situated around Ford. But just to piggyback right on Amalia's, when they compared Lincoln Park, and now that they're comparing Lincoln Park to the Southeast side of Chicago, like, we just got this information today that the death rate for the east side is 1.64 times higher compared to the Lincoln Park. So again,
yes,
that big disparity. And then that the fatality rates among cases is also higher for the east side when compared. And this is like all from COVID findings.
So this is the last sort of sub prompt on the burden side of things, and it's an interesting one. What needs to be in place for the proposal to advance health equity outcomes for community members. Anybody think of anything? No, go ahead, please.
No, I was just gonna say not have RMG here at all. If you want to advance health equity, let's look at our health system. Let's invest in our community. Let's have more clinic. Let's invest in our education system. Let's invest in these things that is gonna make people have a better, if you want to have better health, let's invest in these things. Let's invest in education. Let's, as I said earlier, let's invest in health. Let's invest in parks. Let's invest in things like that. If we want to have economic growth, like let's invest in things as Carlos mentioned early, in things that are sustainable. I mean, not because the land is already polluted, we're just going to come and pollute it more. There's other things that that land could be used for.
We've been received the prompt to move on to the third one, but I want to give like just a couple of seconds if anyone has another thing that they want to throw in towards the question of what could be added to the proposal that would advance health equity.
To look at the racial impact of policy decisions that continually put toxic companies on the Southeast side. And do the opposite of that.
Nice. Okay. So we're moving on to our third one. So this one's about lived experience. So is there anything else that you want the folks who are working on this proposal to know or think about based on your experience as a community member? I mean, you've already given a lot of beautiful stories and narrative and experiences, but anything else that you want to add to the things that they need to consider? And specifically, and forgive me for this, but if there's anybody who's in this breakout room who hasn't said anything, I'm not going to like call folks out by name, but like if you haven't said anything yet, please take the time now to do so. All right. Feel free to jump in later. Open it back up to some of the folks who have taken the opportunity to speak before. Let's throw more out. What do folks need to hear? Okay, go ahead, Brianna, please.
Thanks, Patrick. I do, I'm also happy to wait my turn for some of the others on this in this room that haven't unmuted themselves yet. But I will make this short then. So I guess I don't know all the details and ins and outs, but I do know, I believe that the first permit that had gone through had gotten up to the Illinois EPA and had not yet been brought to public attention or awareness. So I came into this a little late. I wasn't understanding what was going on with General Iron from day one, but I believe, and someone check me if I'm wrong, but that the construction permit for them to start building the concrete walls that you see when you drive through down Torrance and things, that those down Avenue O, that those were put in place. I don't know. I don't want to break the rule, I guess, rules and make a judgment, but they weren't transparent about that, and that they were kind of sneaky in like slipping that first permit through without having community engagement. And only after finding out retrospectively that that one had gone through, then being given the opportunity to make comments, sit in meetings like this, have town halls and things like that. So I speak only for myself, but as a community member, it was confusing to come in halfway, like be able to be heard only halfway through instead of at step one, we're considering this, the first permit hasn't gone through, but rather, well, we're halfway through and now all they need is the construction permit or the operating permit. So that, I also don't understand how the city operates in certain policies and reportings. So I guess, you know, on the back end a little bit, I can take acknowledgement for that, that like, I also just might not have been paying attention in the right ways, but I guess that might also be reflected in what we've seen since then, which is many people have been vocal. Many letters have been written by health professionals. I work in the research industry. And so I guess, again, to speak only for myself, this concept of consent is something that I feel was missing in a bit, right? So that first permit went through, there wasn't even acknowledgement of it. And people in this community have already received the brunt of these burdens and they're actively voicing, we don't consent to being burdened on top of what's existing with these landfill, with these toxic landfills. And that's not being taken into consideration. In my industry, that's taken like super seriously. I work in research. You can't draw a tube of blood unless the patient understands all the risks, including blood clot and some super extraneous claims, but they'll sue you. You know, I would get sued as a researcher if I didn't make my patient aware of that. And seeing the extent to which health can be impacted and has been, and have that not be considered by the city, it worries me. I don't feel like my best interest is here with this process. I guess it feels sneaky, and I acknowledge that's a judgmental word and that's not the goal of this engagement process, but it feels sneaky to me.
I think that's a totally, like, because you're speaking about your feelings and we're asking for lived experience, like, if you think it was sneaky, then that's the right word for you to be using right now. I did see, I believe it was Bunda, you came off mute. Did you want to say something? Okay. Not hearing anything from Bunda. Then, you know, keep going. What else do folks want to say?
The community engagement process has been seriously lacking, and this is the second time that CDPH has presented the HIA process and has said that the community engagement period is over. When their first meeting was November 4th. So I think that's disingenuous about talking about the fact that we have community engagement now, when, look, according to their process, it's been done. And I think it took the US EPA calling them out to delay the permit until a health impact assessment was done, and that wasn't done till May of 2021. And to say that their community engagement process was to take the comments from the general iron permit that was done last year before the HIA process even began is at best disingenuous and makes this process seem like a sham.
Thank you. And then shift a little tiny bit to something that I think has been alluded to a little bit at different times and some of the like, what could, sort of, for example, like what could be in this policy that you would actually like, right? Not this thing. So what do you see? What does need to be in place to advance health equity outcomes for community members? It's question one. Question two, what do you see as some of the community needs that warrant a significant or a greater amount of attention?
Sorry, Patrick, would you mind repeating that question? I'm not sure if I got it.
Yeah, sure. So first one is what does need to be in place to advance, like to bring about health equity and like the desired health outcomes in the community? And then the second part was what do you see as some of the community needs that warrant more attention than is currently being paid to them?
Gotcha. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think there's several things. I think, you know, we haven't heard from the city yet about, you know, whether or not the manganese that has been found in Little League fields and backyards has been completely cleaned up. There's a Superfund site on the edge of the ward. There's these, you know, toxic landfills on each end of the ward. There's a lot of things. There's a lot of cleanup that needs to happen. And I think that a lot of times, you know, like this being, you know, the process of this permit and, you know, potentially bringing yet another industry, polluting industry, I think makes it so we have to be on the defensive, you know, but I think that we need to have like a conversation about what are all the ways in which there's a lot of cleanup, I think, that needs to be done still. And I think that that's one of the unfortunate things about this whole thing is that having to fight against this means that we can't start to envision the kind of future that we want for a sustainable Southeast Side, for a sustainable 10th Ward.
Thank you for that. Anybody else want to like throw some stuff out on this particular point? If not, we did technically get there, like move on to question four, but I want to give space if there are things folks want to put out there.
I got something. I mean, last couple of years and this information the city PH should have used to do the HIA process and when developing all the process itself and following the steps. So there is this Calumet Connect data book where we did reach out and we did listen to some of the community members and we got community feedback on things that that can be done. And one of the things that a lot of us came up and said was that the decisions that are being made should be based again on the community impact of development. And this is not being done because that assessment has not been done. We need to close the loopholes that allow industries in the Calumet Connect, the industrial corridor, and especially those that store hazardous materials. We need to require facilities, even those that are here, that they need to maintain landscaping that separate these things from facilities. And those that are already existing, we need more rigorous testing when it comes to EPA. We need to improve, and one of the biggest things is like we need to improve the public access to information about what is going on when it comes to public health and the environmental impacts of industries. And I mean, a lot of people, we live here and we don't have access to our river. Like people do not have access. I think when we did this, when we worked with Alliance for the Great Lakes, that came out a lot. Like who owns the river? Is it for the people or is it for the industries that are here? So, I mean, if we want to talk about equity, it even starts there.
Thank you for that. I'm going to move on to the last prompt, which is, so looking forward beyond the permit decision, what should we be aware of as we think about other policy or process change initiatives? Do you have any specific recommendations?
I mean, we need zoning reform, I would say. That's one of the biggest things we need right now so that we can protect our people who live here.
Excellent. Thank you. Others?
You know, I think we should get to the real crux of the matter here. Can you guys hear me?
Yes.
Yes.
I think we should get to the real crux of the matter, and there's no disrespect to anybody, but somehow our research has got to be one of how did we let this happen, and why are we continuing to let it happen? And who are the people that are involved in these decisions that just say that, you know, we're just going to go to the southeast side, 10th Ward, and put it there? Because people are sleeping out there, and they're really not making enough noise or having a voice that can compete with what we're doing. But I think that, you know, there needs to be a long line of research going on here so we can find out where the fail has come in. Because I see this as the only area in the 50 wards in the city of Chicago that is happening on a regular basis, and we're stretched out thin here. Okay, I just don't understand why that they can't say, well, hey, go try another area, maybe try the suburbs. Why the 10th ward? Why the 10th ward? It's just so. Astounding that the first thing that comes out, go to 10th Ward. I just don't understand how that can happen. This mindset, 10th Ward, I don't get it. You know, and maybe, like I said, we need to just kind of backtrack here and see how this whole thing started and, you know, just see the players that were involved in this, that were making these kind of decisions for us when we should be trying to have a impact on our decisions. That we decide what we want for our communities, especially the 10th Ward. And I'm just going to leave it right there. That's just an honest feeling here, you know. So.
Yeah, appreciate it. It's almost like a biography of being in a messed up situation. Like, others, you want to throw something in on this point?
In general, I already put it in there for note taker, but no more toxic developments, environmental justice communities. So if it requires a permit, especially if it's a permit that has to go through the Illinois EPA, then it's toxic and it should not go into environmental justice community.
Sort of like if your community area has been designated as such, then if you need to go through a formal assessment process, then the answer is no. Like it has to start exactly. Starts with no for the protection of the space. Yeah.
Exactly.
Cool.
And then the other thing I would say is instead of putting toxic developments in environmental justice communities, we need some good development. So listening to the community about what types of developments are needed. So I would say developments, you know, like priorities for local hires, good paying jobs, developments that have a housing that's actually affordable to current residents, you know, those type of things, like priorities that the community has identified. And I would also say in environmental justice communities, development should be required to have green infrastructure to offset what is already here.
Fantastic series of recommendations. Others, again, folks who have not spoken for a minute or for Mr. Strong, I see you just came off mute. Did you have something else you wanted to say?
Oh, I'm sorry. I'll put it back on. Excuse me.
Huh? Anybody else want to put in your dollars instead of cents? Follow-up question. So as the city engages in other projects in the Southeast side, what would you like the city to think about? And how would you like the city to engage the community in for other processes moving forward?
How about that when we come to the table and the city recognizes what kind of community we have, and them coming to the table and just not having in the back of their mind that whatever we say doesn't matter, and in the out as they look toward the outcome is that, you know, they're gonna listen to what we say, but still have in the back of their mind that no matter what we say, we're still going to put it in anyway. We're going to make sure those things happen. But maybe changing their way of thinking and say that we really do care about our community. Listen to our hearts, hear our feelings. You know, those things matter, okay? And sometimes those things win out over money. Love wins out over money all the time. You know, I mean, if we're compassionate enough, we can probably get those guys to change too. So, I mean, that's a step. Just not having them think that, you know, the answer is going to be yes, even though they sit at the table with us.
So I love that in a sentiment, but I'm also thinking about some of the stuff that other folks have said. But like, let's say CDPH or the city comes in and is like, no, we really want to center you in this decision. Like, why would you believe us? Like, what would we need to do in order to, for you to think like, actually, that's not just words. That's not just an engagement. It's more than that. How does that get conveyed in a way that means something to you?
Well, right now, after this HIA process, I think it's kind of hard. And you guys do have to really, really work hard for it. Because, I mean, look, you have completed the first three steps of the HIA process. And we were left out. There was no scientific groups involved. There was no community-based organizations involved, the stakeholders. It was just the EPA and the city EPH working on that. We were supposed to be involved, like, what are the indicators you're going to be studying? Like, what is it you're going to be measuring? Where is all the information coming from? Like, even us were trying to find out the information you were using for the HIA presentation you had. And we're like, oh, where is that information? It was some of the information was even harder for our scientists to look at. And they were like, oh, this is confusing. So how do you expect our community members to explain, to understand that? And then to start with, like, stop being in direct conflict with your racial and health justice principles. Like, you guys have made a commitment to have this health improvement plan. Like, respect that. Like, do things that, you know, reflect on what you have committed with the Healthy 2025 plans, like with Healthy Chicago. Like, you're committing to do this. So make your actions be reflecting that. And for instance, they're not, they're in direct conflict right now with this HIA.
Thank you. Just as a warning, it looks like we have about a minute before the breakout room gets closed down and we all join the main group. So, you know, popcorn it out, like 15 second things, everybody. What else do we need to do? How do we demonstrate that our intentions are aligned with yours? How do we do these things?
I like Daisy. Action should follow words.
So align with what we said.
I think Daisy knocked out of the park with that one.
I think it was pretty great too. So thank you for that. All right, we have 6 seconds. Thank you all very much for being candid, being honest, being powerful.